This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are nearing the end of our Las Vegas Chronicles, and I hope you all have enjoyed these as much as I have enjoyed having a chance to chat with all of these wonderful magicians. And before that I left for Las Vegas, Stan Allen had contacted me to say, hey, Timo Mark is going to be in town visiting from Germany during this week, and perhaps he might be someone you might like to chat with. And I thought, yeah, he'd be fantastic. So I contacted him. Long story short, he's going to be our guest on the podcast here today. In fact, it was towards the end of the week that we were finally able to coordinate our schedule so we can get together. He was busy doing a lot of other things. He had some appointments, different meetings. He had some shows that he was seeing while he was there in town. And I, of course, had my other chats that I had scheduled with other guys around town. So this was like on the last night, basically on Thursday evening, just before that I went over to see the Matt Franco show. And so it was, again, kind of sandwiched between some other things. We were at the Orleans Hotel, which, by the way, is going to be the location again this year for the Magic Live convention. So we actually kind of found a place over in the corner, kind of quiet, I guess. It was in the High Rollers slot machine cage, if you will. So there weren't a lot of people back in that $100 slot machine area, so it was a little bit quieter than it was in the rest of the casino. But I just finished chatting with someone else, and I was meeting Timo over there at the Orleans, and then jumping back in my car to get downtown to see Matt Franco. So anyhow, you kind of hear some of the background noise from the casino, and it gives you that real flavor actually being there, sitting there next to us on the slot machine chairs as we were chatting. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of stuff that he really talks about, I think, is kind of interesting. But before I kind of tell you about that, you might wonder, well, who is Timo Mark, since he is not a local guy and from the U.S., nor even in Las Vegas? So I will say that he's a Grand Prix winner of the Monte Carlo Grand Prix winner. Also, he has won the Sarmodi Award. That is the Siegfried and Roy Masters of the Impossible. That's it, yeah. Masters Sarmodi. Siegfried and Roy Masters of the Impossible. Award. So he had won that during one of the Las Vegas seminars, and he continues to travel around the world with this incredible shadow act, and there might be an opportunity sometime this year for many of us to get a chance to see it. And I'll just leave it at that for now. But aside from being a winner of various contests, he has a lot to share in his conversation here. As you know, of course, we have America's Got Talent here in the United States, but that is an international contest or television show that's been franchised many times, and they have one in Germany. And I think it's kind of interesting to hear his insight on how theirs differs from the one in America, and some of the pitfalls or problems that people might have, particularly if they want to try to sign up or get to be on Germany's Got Talent, I guess it is. But aside from that, talks about traveling with Murray Hatfield on his tour up in Canada, also meeting with Christian and Catalina and how their relationship has grown, and also theaters and festivals in Germany and kind of the things that he does and how that he had developed his character and, oh goodness, all this and more. You're going to get to hear all of that here this week, and I'm excited to introduce someone who you may not know too well, but after this, you'll have an opportunity to say hello to him and next time you see him and actually know more about him. And you could delve into some of these other areas in more detail as you get a chance to chat with him. Very congenial guy. I love him to death. Just a wonderful fella. And you can sense the excitement in his voice. He's just as a charismatic gentleman. So please welcome this week, Timo Mark, here on The Magic Word.
Good to know.
Hello, this is Scott Wells with the Magic Word Podcast, and I'm here in Las Vegas. Actually, I traveled to Vegas, and I'm here with another fellow traveler, but he's an international traveler all the way from Germany. There's Timo Mark. Hey, Mark, Timo.
Hey, hello, Scotty.
So, that's right. Thank you for calling me Scotty. So many people say Scott instead of Scott. I don't care. That's fine. You know, my good friends call me Scotty. You're now my good friend.
Okay, okay. Good. Very good. Very good.
What part of Germany are you? Where
near Stuttgart, I come
Stuttgart,
from.
Stuttgart, okay.
Yes, in the south.
Okay. And are you enjoying Vegas? You've seen a lot of shows and everything?
Oh, of course. I mean, I was several times here, so I saw a lot of shows now the third or fourth or fifth time. This time I'm here now for 1 week. I think I saw 10, 11, 12 shows.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing.
Unfortunately,
was amazing.
Matt King wasn't here. Who was filling in for Mac?
You know what? Oh, I'm so bad with names. But he was amazing. I just...
It wasn't Mike Finney or Steve Bergazzi?
Derek...
Hughes.
Yes.
Derek Hughes, yeah.
Yes, and that was great because it was first like, oh, damn it, that Mac is not here. But then we said, oh, we watch it anyway. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm here with a friend, a magic friend, with Andy, and we watched the show and we went out and we said, you know what? This was one of the greatest shows we had here.
Yeah, you know... Mac has his room always open so that even if when he's gone, like in this case, he always has someone filling. That's why I know Mike Finney does and C. Bergazzi. I was talking to Steve about that, so, you know, and I said, what do you do? I said, you're filling in for Mac King. And people come to see Mac, and he said, I disarm them right away and say, well, I know you're probably going to want your money back. I said, I'm not Mac King, you know, I'm C. Bergazzi, but you're stuck with me. But that's just his style,
So
then you love him. And Derek was someone who had gone pretty far on America's Got Talent type of a show.
Yes,
speaking of that, I know that's a internationally syndicated show. I assume that they have a German's Got Talent.
Exactly, we have one.
Have you ever thought about getting on that show? Or
You know what? Every August, I get the email from them, and unfortunately, in Germany, it's quite. It's popular, but it's also quite mean to say it. But it's not a nice version of it. You have it much better here in America.
Is that because that the judges are more?
If only had the half of the bad stories what I heard from backstage from friends who were there, if only had the half of them are true, then it's already...
Well, what do you mean? They treat them badly? They don't give them water or what?
No, it's just that they treat you not really nice. They put you out, if you're a professional or not, whoever it is, they don't give you all the facts, what's happening. They kick you out on stage and here you do it. There's no rehearsal, nothing. For professional, it's quite maybe okay, he can adjust to this, but it's a really amateur people, you know, who really believe in this concept, who really go there, and they use them really to talk to them and to make them cry, and this you see them in the TV show.
Are they wanting to have that kind of emotion on the TV show, so they make them cry?
Yes, really. One friend of mine, he told me there was a bird act, and the bird act the whole time during the rehearsal. He said, the bird's getting tired. I cannot be the last performer, so please. And of course, he was the last performer. And the show went totally down. And they used it to fill the TV show. In the cut, they showed the outtakes. Yeah, and when you know then the stories, how it happened, how it came to that, then you're like, oh man, you know?
Now, is it just magicians that they treat that way, or are there other kinds
of
people?
Of
it. So it doesn't matter what...
And you know what? I was shocked once. Oh yeah, I remember the story. It was, I think, season one. It was on television. There were two little kids. They were singing together. And the judge said, oh, you know, you on the left side, you're amazing. Your friend sucks.
So if just like that.
To kids in front of camera, it was broadcasted. In fact, you should shut down the TV station already for that.
Wow,
that you cannot do this. Oh. I mean, and they told them, if you split, you can go on, but without your friend.
But not without.
Hello, where are we? And then this was so clear then for me what they really want. And when you see them, the contracts, what they have, I saw once a contract. I mean, they can do it with you whatever you want. You even have to believe. This is a story of another magic friend of mine. He had he came out with the belief, had a great run through, everything was fine. Then he saw the TV show, and they destroyed him with the cut. You know, they
made him look bad.
Yeah, made him very totally look bad, and
because they didn't want him to go forward.
Yeah, he was a professional. I think he had a good management, and they don't like these people. And they prefer people they can use and also pay low, because there was also a tour with the performers.
Sure.
And I saw the contract. They got they got paid a handful of money, nothing. And they perform in big stadiums.
Where do they go on tour whenever they're going to be around?
They go on tours in different theaters in different cities.
But is it throughout Germany or is it throughout Europe?
Germany and the finalists, like a finalist tour. Yeah. So when I see all these things, I'm getting really. On the other side, you know, especially here in America, there are great stories. There are great stories, successful stories. So
But it hasn't been until the recent years in which they've actually given a lot of credit to magicians. It seems like that even though they've been good in the past, they haven't moved forward. And then after a while, it's kind of like, well, there's no way magicians are going to work. And then Matt Franco came out, and then won.
True.
And then a few other guys, like Derek Hughes and some others, moved forward and very close.
Yeah.
And even, of course, my mind just went blank, with Tommy Tan and Amelie, who were just like in second place. I mean, that's you know, our friends from Germany.
Yes, exactly. Austria.
Yeah.
Austria.
Nearby.
Austria. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah,
they were just, I love those guys.
Yes.
And yeah, so in other words, they're starting to go through. But it's interesting. I heard something just yesterday from someone who had said that apparently they were reading one of the contracts that says, even if that you don't get X by the judges, and if you get a standing ovation, and they say, okay, you're going through, you're going to the next step, contractually, you may be cut. Because it's like, okay, well, we don't have enough room, or that there's, and so they don't even air that thing, even though it's like, this guy got a standing ovation.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And this, well, for this, maybe, well, maybe if I would be at the beginning of my career, I would maybe more think about it.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I'm in a situation where I'm not, only for 10 years professional, but I was quite lucky with my act and with my show in the last years. I was allowed to travel a lot and do all my dreams, even more. So,
That's what I was about to ask. You know, the only reason I would want to do that, and they, same with me, you know, contacted me, you know, times for the auditions and everything, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have a show. I don't have anything. I'm trying to put people's butts in the seats and sell tickets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have that as an end game or there's something that you're wanting, then it's important. But with you, did you have something, I mean, that you... I've got a show or a touring show or
I do in my home area in my home base
Stuttgart
near Stuttgart a little bit half an hour outside of Germany of Stuttgart it's my area where I grew up, where I still live, and where people followed all my success from the beginning on. They know sometimes more than I still remember. It's really nice. Yeah. And I keep this contact, and there's one city with a theater 700 seats. For them, I do now every year. It will be this year, in fact, when I come home in 1 month, it will be the seventh run of a variety production. Mm-hmm. And that is so amazing because for me, I'm the artistic director. So I'm allowed with a budget from the city to book acts that I performed with,
that's nice.
Friends, with not only magicians, also acrobats, everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had people from the Moulin Rouge in Paris, from all around the world, in a small place. Always when I tell them, oh, can you come to my home production? And they say, okay, where it is? I say, oh, it's the city Holzgerlingen. And they're like, what, where? And near Stuttgart, somewhere where Mercedes, they produce their cars. Ah, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And what is really nice, so for the people, it's like, oh, our son of the area, he travels around the world and he brings now the world home. And it is very nice. So, and then I can sleep in my own bed and I have my time at home and I can show my friends that I made around the world.
Sure.
Then they can come to my parents and we eat and it's fantastic.
How big of a
theater? Very nice.
Is that?
700 seats and we have 3 times sold out. It's just one weekend and it's a blast. And this, I hope we will do a long time. We have reserved the date till 2020.
Yeah.
And in April, I have a conversation with the mayor for the next years.
Yeah.
And it's a small thing. I don't need for this television to promote it on television or something. It's just my hometown, so they know it. And now it's always sold out a year in advance, and it's fantastic.
What about close-up? Do they have a camera or something you can do close-up on there or not?
I could. In fact, we did once already. We have their screen, and so we can do close-up. We can do stage performance. We even have... a camera always shoots the stage. Even we have big acts, but we go with the camera close to the faces or close to the...
Big screen so they can see.
And then in the back we have also a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this developed now in the seventh year, and it's a blast.
That's fantastic. What's the theater called?
Really nice. The theater called, it's just a what is it called in English? Stadthalle. It means the city theater. Theater of Holzgerlingen. There's still no other production. Normally only local... communities perform there something. I'm the only production, and then international, and then with variety, with jugglers, with all kind of things. So it's something very special,
right?
And I think that's why it's also one of the reasons of success, because the next big city is Stuttgart, where you have productions like this. So people are like, oh my god, we are here more or less countryside, and this show comes to us. Perfect. And it's in my home. From my house, I go 5 minutes to the theater. It's fantastic. I love it.
That's one of the things I know in the U.S. that they're trying to do is to have a resurgence of theater shows or a theater. And some people have been producing their own shows, like in hotels, in the banquet room, or someplace on a regular basis, and sort of trying to find some things like that.
Yeah, you know what? tomorrow I fly not back home. I fly to Indianapolis because I meet a Christian painter.
Yeah, Catalina.
Exactly, and they have this situation.
That's exactly right. It's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good friends, but I've not seen their show over there. I love their show, but I've not seen it actually in their home.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will now hopefully
see.
Well,
tell them hello.
Yeah, I will. And you know what? I can tell you here a great story because. Kat and Christian, they were my first international friends in Magic.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even a member of the Magic Circle in Stuttgart yet. It was in the 90s because I visited I began Magic in school. There was a Magic school club. And then I heard 20 minutes away, there is a Magic convention. What was in these days produced by Magic Hands, Manfred Thum.
Oh, the Magic Congress.
Exactly.
Yeah, Fat Congress. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the biggest.
Manfred Thum. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I went there, as a teenager. And Christian, a painter, he was in the army with Kat together, both in the army, and they were in Stuttgart, based. And we met there in the bar, like it happens, you know, showing card tricks to each other.
That
and
must
since
have been 20 years ago.
We were thinking about it. It was nearly, really. And, and we hooked so immediately together up. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then we performed for the barracks in English. Uh-huh. And we performed also a show in my little village for 80 people. Him doing a part and me doing a part.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. And since then,
it's been friends.
It's incredible. And then as I finished school, high school, I was then in Germany, like I said, I was 20. I then took an airplane and I visited them. It was my first trip to America. And then we met once in a while at the IBM SM Combined Convention or at FISM. And tomorrow I go again to them. And this is magic. This is what it's all about.
It's a small community. It seems like and it's brought together, worldwide, exactly like this.
I love it.
Well, it was great seeing him also, him and Catalina performing at FISM last year. They didn't end up, in the finals, but they were on stage. They made it, there. I assume you were there.
I was there too. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't see. I mean, you were only like 2,500 people there.
True.
I missed you.
Damn it.
Did you perform? I don't remember.
No, I didn't. But for me, it was clear that they had a rough time because when you know them, you can put them in a 10-minute cage. They're so fantastic. They need interaction and real life audience and not 2,500 crazy magicians.
Yeah, they can reach out and they have a way of breaking that fourth wall and bringing people in and everything.
In a second, they break it.
Right, they're very, very engaging.
Oh, I love them so much. Yeah. I never saw a couple performing so naturally together because Kat, she was not even doing magic before. She was like, let me try it with my husband, why not? And she's so amazing on stage. She has a natural talent.
She does. It's a natural pair.
Oh, I love
I think about Tessa of Canada. Sorry, the two person. Jeff Evison and Tessa.
Okay.
They have a beautiful act in which that they talk back and forth and everything. But theirs again is a lot like Tommy Tan and Emily, in which they're talking back and forth. But and coding and whatever. But in their case, they're not necessarily doing a two-person act. I mean, it's almost like two-person mind-reading act. It's a two-person mentalism act.
Yeah.
And one is equally important. I mean, and there's talk about misdirection. You're looking at him or her or back and forth, and it is phenomenal. I think they're great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, I mentioned close-up, and I know that Axel Hecklau has theater also. Now, where is his?
He performs in Berlin.
Okay.
In the capital. Yes, we are so lucky at the moment in Germany that. We have, I don't know the number, but it's over 10 for sure, between 10 and 20 close-up theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so successful. If you have the chance, Scotty, in Stuttgart, for my taste, and also to see in the most professional way, Stuttgart and Munich.
Mm-hmm.
They have really, it's incredible. They just, in Stuttgart, they're sold out every day two or three times. And they really have, I think the new number is 160 seats.
Mm-hmm.
And the seats are so, wrecked. So amazing, wrecked. Even in the last row, you are feeling like you're sitting in the first row. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And Axel has this kind of close-up theater, but not with these seats.
He says he packs it in pretty. Has a lot of people coming.
Yeah, he has also a lot of people, for sure. Mm-hmm. Even also in Hamburg. There's a list, the Magic World, what is it called Magische Welt magazine, a German magazine mm-hmm. from Vitus Witt. He once, I don't know in which issue, but he made a list of them all. So if people are interested, and if they go to Germany, it's incredible.
I know there are a couple of different magic clubs also, and it seems like I thought there was a little competition. And one club actually has their own building and everything, kind of like the Magic Circle. It's the Magic Circle in Germany, but it's... What is it? Or is the magic circle in Germany?
We have the magic magische Zirkel from the magic circle, mm-hmm. and this is over 90 city clubs.
Yes, okay.
In each city, and mine is Stuttgart, and they all together are the magic circle of Germany.
But I thought there was some place that had their own theater,
their own
building or something. I'm not sure. You not know?
Okay. I missed something.
No,
in my home.
It seems like that, you know, when Banachek was over there lecturing, and when he did, he brought me back some cufflinks from the place, and I'd have to go back and look at the cufflinks and see what it said.
Okay. Oops. Then show me. Yeah. Teach me something new in Germany.
There's a lot of magic going on, you know, over there. You know, I really love, you know, the Furtgen finger flickers. Thomas Fraps and
flicking fingers.
Fingers.
Die fertigen Finger. It's in German.
They all are so different from one another. It seems like in their styles, but together that they're wonderful. And they've been on Magic Live also. You know, doing a closing an evening show.
They are amazing. All different characters. Everybody is a genius in his own way. Mm-hmm. And then all this together, fantastic.
Yeah, Pitt Hartling and all those guys are just amazing.
Gaston. Thomas Fraps. Mm-hmm. The whole list of names.
Now those people come and go, they change, or do they...
It's a fixed team. Depends, when they do a show, it depends who has time, or who is the best, maybe for the circumstance. And in Munich, they have every month... I think it's the first week. First, they have a Magic Monday. They started this concept of Magic Monday years ago. And one time a year in June, they make a Magic Week. And then every year, they have, in a small theater, I think not even 100 people fit in, but every year, because of their contacts all over the world, they have international acts. So there, I was allowed to see David Williams in full evening show. It's so close. I cannot even give you more examples, but a lot of... So, yeah.
Was it part of a festival?
It's a one-week festival, public. Not Magic Convention.
I understand. Now, that was what I was going to ask you about next, because I remember listening to, on the Essential Magic Conference, EMC, a few years ago, there was that Luis D'Amatos had somebody come in.
Dennis Bea?
I know Dennis. It was somebody who came in and talked about festivals, basically.
Ah, okay.
And he was a festival organizer. Mm. And it was something like in America, it's completely foreign to us as far as our festivals or beer festivals or something. You know, well, like I said, beer festivals, obviously, in Germany, which is on my bucket list. And I don't mean to be, be punny. You know, I want to go to Oktoberfest sometime.
Yeah,
you know?
come to Munich and Stuttgart also.
Yeah, I will do that. But the thing is, they have magic festivals that are very successful, and they tried it over here. I remember a while back that Lance Burton and Mac King put together something in Louisville, and they put a lot of time, effort, and money into it, and just couldn't get people to understand the concept for the public to embrace this. But, I mean, I understand what you're talking about, but it for some reason just doesn't work here. I don't know why. What makes that work there? I mean, is that...
I don't know exact what concept they tried, because we have really different kind of concepts. We have in Sindelfingen, what is close to me, there's the concept of you have three big gala show and then you have just a one-day magic convention.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have this
for magicians, and then the rest of it is for the public.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have in Munich this magic week. There they do every night different show. Every night there's a different concept, a different performer for 1 week. And then the international performer, mostly also to get a bit more of money, he organized in one afternoon a lecture. And then the magicians from around Munich they would come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, in Germany, we don't have so many magic conventions anymore in the classic way. We have every 3 years the Metal German Masters.
Yeah, Manfred Thumb was the last one that actually hosted.
Well, this was the last big ones we had. And this is years ago. Yeah. This is, oh my God, this was where I met Christian Painter. So it's really years ago. Unfortunately, this kind of disappeared. Then we had, for years, in Austria, where Tommy Ten and Emily come from, they had also for years a very nice idea. They always worked. Austria is a country of tourism. They have the Alps, the big mountains, and blah, blah, blah.
Beautiful.
And they always, the city where the Magic Circle organized the convention, they always work together with the tourist center, tourist organization.
I know what you mean, visitors bureau and tourist.
Yeah. And like this, they always sold the tickets for the convention, plus then vacation. Mm-hmm. So the people came, often it was like this, that the and because of this reason, there were a lot of women also, because the magicians brought their family.
Yeah.
The women who were not interested or the family, they right. had in a day program where they were visiting the mountains or something, and right, the father was doing card tricks yeah. all day. And then after the convention or before, they stayed in the city. So this was a great concept, but you know what? It also stopped. Huh. I don't know what's going on. Maybe when we go on this path and we talk about more about this, we come to this big problem what we general have, I think, in worldwide, that the magic circles are not so attractive anymore, mm-hmm. and they're getting older and older, the members. Maybe yeah. that's why.
Are you not having younger people coming in? Are you noticing that same thing? We are over here.
Yeah.
You know, young people are not joiners in general. You know, they
exactly.
don't join organizations. They'd yeah. rather be a part of the social community, you know, and their yeah. social yeah. network yeah. and interact through Facebook or tweeting or whatever. Yeah. I mean, even our President Trump tweets, you know. So.
Oh, yes.
Let's not go there. So. But everybody's okay. doing it, yeah.
Yes, our young community started mostly now YouTube, online, somewhere. But fortunately, some years ago, our magic circle, the leaders, the what is it called, all the important
people, yeah.
yeah, yeah, all the who have responsibility. I really take off my hat in front of them because they said, okay, look, guys, we are now in an age, we don't bring the new ideas, we don't bring back the new and young people. So what about this? We go away, or we have 1 or 2 years in a tandem situation. I don't know if this is the English word also. So young people who want to have responsibility in the magic circle, mm-hmm. they had for 1 year, they were like a team with one of the older guy mm-hmm. who organized everything. So they teached, yeah?
yeah.
And then now, years later, the older guys, they're gone. And our leaders of the magic circle, this is all a young team now. So
that's good news.
So yeah. that's really great, and it worked already because now
they're going to be talking to their friends, and they're going to be using social yeah. media, or whatever else,
exactly.
and they're going to say, "Well, I know
they're
this
much
guy.
More open for this."
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, because there are a lot of older people who still are just not up with a lot of things. I'll never
True.
Forget there
True.
Was an older guy yeah. Who has since actually died, but I was on the I'm a past president of the Texas Association of Magicians, and we were having a board meeting with other past presidents about
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
and we were talking about that was before we even had a website. You know, I mean, it was
yeah.
some years ago, and this old guy like it was yesterday, and he said, "I don't know about this worldwide web internet thing, if it's actually going to make it or not." He said, "I don't think we should be wasting any of our money
oh,
with that."
Oh my God!
Know?
Okay, yeah,
we can laugh now. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's true, and yeah. So I think now the Magic Circle of Germany is doing a better job. Now they, in fact, they go also there with their website and with their activities. They go there where the young performers are, and mm-hmm. they are in the internet. They do card juggling, not only card tricks.
Right.
Yeah. And they do it so well that we now have not only a German championships every 3 years, we have also a German youth championship. So mm-hmm. we have already so many young people again that we can have this youth convention.
Right.
And every year also there's a youth, what is it called? It's like a 1 week training, like a workshop, mm-hmm. where the Magic Circle invests money. So they say, if you are under 14,
in their education,
you can come for 100 euros and your stay is paid, your food is paid, all the lectures, what you will have to hold, everything is paid.
Who underwrites that? Is that the government or?
This is all coming from Magic Circle because we are over 2,500, I think.
That's
I don't know the actual number.
Because of all the different groups that combine to make
exactly.
that. Okay.
All the members, Germany-wide, they all give their annual fee to the Magic Circle, and from this pot of money, we invest into the youth. And this is great. In fact, we do this already for years, but it went down a little bit because nobody was catching up with the young people. And
I was going to say, it have to do with leadership there?
The leadership, well, in fact, there are some people who are just very motivated. Our president, Eberhard Riese, he's every year there, and he always gives feedback to routines and, mm-hmm. and motivates them to, yeah, come try in competition. I don't know if you know our system. We have, if you want to go to the German championships, we have a year before, we have qualifications, something like this?
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
qualifications.
You have to qualify to, yeah, each year.
Yeah, and for this qualification, yeah. everybody can come. Mm-hmm. Everybody. If he thinks he's a magician or if he thinks he has something interesting to show, he can come. And there are sometimes big surprises, yeah.
And there are judges, or how do they determine?
Yeah, there are judges, but very fair and very...
Oh, sure. They're yeah. open to give pretty yeah. much let anybody. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
And you just have to show that you really have a sincere interest, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like this, there's also an open window for these people to come. So yeah, we're trying hard. Our circle tries hard now to
to flip, exclude anybody.
Yeah, yeah, and to flip the situation that we don't get older, that we get new blood. And I think it shows already. I mean, I never thought that we would have once world championships in FIS and world championships in card magic. Germany, who was like always the stage performers, right, like in the year from Topaz, and yeah, and suddenly we have a first and second prize winner in one row. So we were like, oh my god, where are they coming? Where they jumped out from? Yeah, and these are these young guys who mostly are communicating the internet and meet not in the circle because it was old fashioned. They meet first in their own communities,
social community.
Exactly. And but fortunately now they're. Yeah, seeing the magic circle, and then see
it's going to start growing then again. You think it, then as well?
Exactly, exactly. And I think this is a job we should really focus on more in the future and also worldwide.
I'm so excited to hear you say that, because that's something that in the United States that I can see clubs declining. Yeah. Just as magic shops, brick and mortar magic shops, are declining, because you have the internet where people can go out and compare prices, and they can get a good service and whatever, and they can watch a video of the demonstration, so you don't need to be in a brick and mortar magic shop. And it's getting harder and harder to try to make that, because the prices go up for their lease and they can't afford this, and then the products they have to have inventory as opposed to drop shipping. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for that. I'm just saying that's just one of the many problems I think about that we're seeing change that I don't think we're going to be getting back. This may not mean anything to you, but like a buggy whips that we don't use anymore. Kind of went the way. I hope that it doesn't. But I'm just saying the same thing, like though with youth here not joining groups, and again not just with magic clubs, but I mean like the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, different kinds of fraternal organizations, the Rotary or whatever here, that we have older members and not a lot of youth that are coming in. For one thing, even after they kind of get married and might have children, they have other things to do, and since they hadn't joined these organizations, maybe the scouting organization, and that's the one thing I think that continues to grow. Now, I don't know their figures, but I'm guessing that they don't have the people join the scouts that they used to. On the other hand, it could be the parents are right now pushing them because they had belonged, and so they're getting them involved.
Yeah.
Whereas, I don't know how many magicians are encouraging our children. I've got two boys, and if they like it, fine. If they don't, fine. But I wasn't pushing them towards that, they want to do,
Push is not the way to do it.
No, it's not. It's kind of give them a choice and let them decide on their path.
Show them what's out there in the world.
Yeah.
And then they can do their choice.
Now, as far as FISM goes, I was hoping that you guys were going to be having it in Germany, but then it was interesting because last year in Rimini, Italy, it was between South Korea and, I want to say it wasn't Amsterdam, but it was Holland, or no, not Holland.
What was it? Was it Norway? Oh my God.
No.
I also don't remember.
But it was, I want to say, because it's Norway, just a...
It was a European... Finland?
It was, it was Finland. No, you're right. It was Finland, yeah.
Yeah.
And so... And I was really pulling for Finland. I mean, I'm not wild necessarily about traveling the Far East. For me, it's a great place, and they're going to do very well. But Germany is, again, where I really want to go.
You will.
Yeah, eventually. So are you guys thinking about putting together a package and to try to bid on it
for the
next time?
At the moment, I cannot see it, really. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have these big conventions anymore, like I said. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have it, really, as a national...
You need an organization. You need the structure, the hierarchy, and the officers to put it together.
We have one team who's putting together the next championships. They might be the next group who could do this. But this will take some years more in the future. This will take some years. Mm. We're not so ready for it.
Yeah, because that is something that takes a lot of planning, in advance.
And the Germans, when they do it, they want to do it like in the best way.
Exactly right.
Remember Dresden? I was not there as the last FISM was in Germany and the only time. But as far as people tell me, they said it was really one of the great FISMs, and that the team... The whole German circle, from the north to the south, from the west to the east, they all worked together. Mm-hmm. So they really sat together from wherever you came, and they said, okay, everybody who's motivated, we need a team for that, we need a team for that. So everybody, yeah, worked very structured.
It may be a stereotype, but I always think of Germans as being very organized and very meticulous. You know, I'm thinking about German, they talk about German engineering.
With the Mercedes and cars
and whatever, that you guys, I mean, it's very meticulous and this is going to work. For an example, a few years back that when it was in Madrid, I remember Terry Seabrook telling me, you don't want to go to Madrid because it's going to, you know, things won't start on time. It'll be very slow, very laid back. And I didn't, and he was exactly right. It was like, you know, they're in the middle of the bull ring in, you know, Madrid, that's waiting for something to happen. Like 4 hours later, somebody's got a card trick over here, whatever,
that's,
you know.
That's true. I performed once for the National Convention in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And 10 p.m. was normally the time of the gala.
Yeah.
And we started our rehearsal for the gala at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So the people were waiting till we more or less did our light. It was crazy.
Well, that was a little surprising for me also, like at Remedy last year or a couple of years ago, where that we were waiting out in the lobby. I mean, before they even opened the doors to let us be seated, it was supposed to start, let's say, 4 o'clock. And we were out there at 4:15 and everybody just, you know, waiting and then it kind of crushed at the door. A little sad.
It was a bit tough. But, you know, in a way, I also... We Germans, it's often like this, that we are very structured, blah, 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 blah. But in a way, as I was traveling in the past with my act, in a way I also enjoyed to be not in time.
Yeah.
To have the different mentality, and also to have the coolness to be like this.
Yeah.
And to not to put the pressure on you, we have to be in time. Because we Germans, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be always perfect, to be really in time, and has always to be the best, blah, 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 blah. But this pressure also takes away a little bit the fun.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of festivals in Spain, and they were not always in time, but they had the biggest fun, you know, they enjoyed it much more. And even if we were late with the rehearsal, there was always time for the dinner before we did a show.
Meals are important.
Most important.
I like their thinking.
Me too, absolutely, especially in a globalized world where everybody's running and making themselves sick and
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
And that's why I always, when I go to Spain, tell them, please guys, stay like you are. Like you are, it's great. Be like this.
Now, when you are in Spain or in Portugal, do you have a silent act that you're performing?
Yeah, there mostly I do a silent act, but I did also in Spain once MC. I do my channel since 27 years, so I...
You speak Spanish?
No, but I tried to do it in English in a bit of crazy fantasy language. And once I also worked with a translator, so I tried a lot of different things. People mostly know me performing silent outside of Germany with my TV act and with my shadow act. But at home in my production, I'm always the MC, the magical MC. I do close up, all kind of things. So I'm very, very open. And fortunately, I started a magic school club with magic, because there, for 9 years in school, we were just kids. There was no teacher. Mm-hmm. We were just kids having a room once a week and having books and video cassettes, and we just played around. And this was my best, what is it called? A basic education?
Yes. You
know? Because we 1 week we tried mentalism, 1 week we even tried to work with birds and so on.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. And that's why I did a lot of things.
So what do you feel that your strength, you personally, as Timo Mark?
Well, I think when I see it in facts and numbers, then for sure my silent act to be the to be the happy Timo on stage and bringing his crazy ideas on stage and being himself, having fun with that, what he performs, and trying to spread the fun all over the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is my total strength. But some people say I'm also a good MC. So I'm happy to do it.
How did you find your inner character?
This I found, I can answer very clearly. I was lucky. It started end of school. There was in Stuttgart a theater. Every year there was a guy. It was a travesty show, but this travesty guy, he was so smart to fill his show with acts, variety acts. So there was a juggler, there was a ventriloquist, and there was a magician. And the magician spot I got once in a year, and we performed 2 months every night, and they had a tour through the south of Germany. And it worked so great that I filled the spot for 7 years.
Wow.
And first 2 or 3 years, I did all the stuff from the school, so all the classics, but then after 2 or 3 years, of course, all material was gone, and then I had to make a decision. Okay, do I now go on and buy some stuff at the dealers and perform that, or do you start to develop stuff? And there I developed my TV act, what I performed then around the world. There I developed for this show, I developed the shadow act, and a lot of bits and pieces, what I perform also as an MC, were made there, and also especially the character, because it was a crazy show. In fact, we the acts, we were the people who filled the time when even the main act, the main character, the main travesty guy changed his clothes. So sometimes we had only 2 minutes, but in these 2 minutes we had to do the party, right, and come to the point and don't make a 20 minutes act, but really like boom boom. And for 7 years, it was a perfect training. So after I stopped, in fact, as I started to do international work, because then I said, I cannot do this anymore, I have to decide. And at the moment, the doors are open for around the world. For me, the breakthrough was 2006 at FISM. I was the unlucky fourth, but I got there. I came from stage and I got all the contracts. Like, go immediately to Monte Carlo, to Paris, to TV
show. Even though you were fourth place.
They didn't even wait till they gave the awards. Yeah. I came from my show, I was like, oh, I made some mistake. I was totally pissed. Ah, damn it. And then came people, bookers, and they booked me right away, or they said, okay, do you have time in October?
Yeah.
Why, Monte Carlo? Oh, sure, that's it. So 2006, and then I stopped also with this travesty show to be their magic act, because then, it was last 10 years, 7 years, 11 years now. It was over 40 countries, and not only once, a lot of times. And what is now nice, what I enjoy now, to have all the experience, and that people, the same people, book you again. And this gives me the biggest compliment.
Sure.
And now to say it to say it in this way, now I am very happy. I'm not so eager anymore to have the FISM pot or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm just happy, and I got my award with all these contracts and all these jobs. And that was nice. Really, really, really great.
Very nice. Well, I had an experience where I had competed in a contest.
Yeah.
Didn't win, but afterwards there was someone who apparently was an executive with a company saying, I like what you did because it's commercial, and I want to book you for our company.
Yeah,
and so it's like, even though I didn't get a trophy, I got a good contract out of it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I did the combined convention once in a competition, and this was in Louisville, or I don't remember the year.
It would have been about 4 years ago, maybe?
It was even the one
before that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And there was a money prize, and there were then contracts. And I didn't win the money prize, but then I got the big contract for 3 months, Murray Hatfield tour in Canada.
That's a
and
good
this
tour.
Was, oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Got in the bus.
Oh, it was amazing. So
tell me stories about that. What was that like?
Who
did you work with?
With Marty Putz and Dan Sperry. Okay. And it was still today one of my best experiences, especially because Murray and his Teresa, they booked acts who they totally like on stage, but also off stage. They said, hey, we had the mistake in the past. If you have a diva on the bus,
right,
for one day, it's already done. Yeah?
Yeah.
But we have to work for 3 months.
And you got to live together.
And exactly. So before he booked me, he also asked people backstage, how was he in the rehearsal? You know, was he more demanding or more thankful or whatever?
And did he work okay?
Yeah. And so I said, and he booked me. I was hearing these things, I was like, oh, wow. So it looks like I do something right.
Yeah.
And then the tour by itself, even the first show was already like we would have worked together since 1 week, because all his team, all the performers, everything was so professional and so helpful to each other and encouraging, and it was a blast. These 3 months, they went in a second. And still, then years later, we met again in China and worked together, and it was the biggest party. To be honest, the show became a bit the background in China. It was more the, we see us again, we have to eat together, let's go out. Oh yeah, let's do the show. Okay, and now let's go. Fantastic. These are the moments I remember best.
Right, wow. That's a good story. You know, that I remember, I don't think Murray does that that theater tour anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I think ours was one of the last big ones. We had 80 shows, I think, in 30 or 40 cities. And after that, it broke totally down.
But I know that now they do have tours over in China that I believe that Mike Miller puts together.
I did it twice already, not with Mike, because I know the producer even before Mike was there, and I did it in 2012 and last year. And yes, this is a very interesting tour. In fact, it started 2009 for promoting FISM in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
But this tour became so successful that the government, I mean, nothing happens there without the government influence.
Right.
But this producer, Mr. Lin, and his people, his family, in fact, and his friends who do this every year, they do it now twice a year. One tour is for close-up.
Yes.
And one tour is for stage. The close-up is in summertime. I did this 2012. And last year, I did the autumn tour, what is just stage acts.
Okay.
But these are the same theater. So we performed close-up and a stage tour in front of each night 2,500 people.
Wow.
Minimum.
Yeah.
In the biggest theaters. And it was incredible to see, especially on the close-up tour, that there are people from around the world, performers, sitting there doing card tricks on a table. There's a camera. And the screen is all
huge.
Over the
yeah.
stage.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,500 people watch the screen and yeah. applause like they would see it next to them.
Right.
And this was for me, because something like this doesn't work
kind
in Germany.
Kind of bizarre, yeah.
You can do it for 5 minutes in your full evening show, a close-up
yeah.
moment. But if you would do it the whole evening, people would be like, we can't then watch the show at the TV at home. But
exactly right. Yeah.
It's not. But it works in China.
Well, I think, from what I understand, that magic goes over much better in Asia than it does
almost any other
country. In fact, proof of that is right now with Franz Ferrari's, that big show he's doing in Macau.
Exactly.
You know, and he's put it over there because he has the backers that he couldn't, I say that, he may or may not have been able to do it here in Las Vegas or wherever, but he was able to get $20, $30, $40 million or whatever to build a show over there, and they absolutely love it.
I did it last year, 3 months, from May to August. And yeah, in general, Asia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I was in China 20 times with my act. In Korea, 5, 6, 7 times. Taiwan, all kind of Asian countries I did. And last year, I was 7 months only working in Asia with my show. Mm-hmm. 1 month in Korea, 3 months in Macau, and then 2 months in China, in different other places.
Yeah.
It's crazy what's happening there. Every Asian country has their TV magician who makes really magic famous, and the people are just excited about magic. I think there's also some history really that magic is much more deeper in their history than in ours.
Mm-hmm.
And Macau, because you talked about it, I did it for 3 months. We did 362 shows. I was in one of the small theaters in his house,
mm-hmm.
because there are two small theaters and then one big theater
Correct.
Where he performs.
Right.
And I did with my partner the one of the small ones, and it's crazy. We did the weekend 8 shows, 8 times, 15 minutes, always the same.
And they pack them in, I guess, too.
Yes, and what is great, for us it's crazy because we do 8 shows, but what is great for the spectators, in the small place, small theater, there are 150 seats. And the big one where Franz performs stuff, what the show is called Mega Magic, and he really deserves this name. So when you have then, when the two small theaters come together to the people, then it's 300 seats. And when people sit there, only 300 seats, and they see stuff. What could fill a stage in a stadium.
Right.
It's great. It's amazing, right? And he goes really in a lot of new directions. When we always say, like here in Vegas, or also in Germany, when we say, oh, no photographs, no videos.
He encourages it.
He does it. He does it the opposite way. He said, okay, guys, before I start my show here in my mega theater, get out your camera, make pictures, make video, post it. So like this, he takes a high risk if something doesn't work.
Sure. But you have to embrace it, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than people do it in secret, say, hey, you know, no filming or, you know, whatever.
And he has the biggest promotion like this.
Sure.
Free promotion. I mean, this is how the people communicate, especially in Asia. It looks like they have their mobile phone attached to their hand. They don't. they even go more crazy than we do. And he does it the right way. And like this, he deserves absolutely the success. And I'm just thankful that I was allowed to be in one of the first teams there.
Yeah.
And I hope it will go on a long time.
You know, we just had the Super Bowl football over here.
Of course,
I was the Super Bowl magician for the things for the live events that were leading up to it.
Uh-huh.
And we had like 10-minute shows, each of us. There were different kind of variety acts, you know, singers and dancers and country music and gospel singers and whatever. And I was the only magician, you know, performing
cool.
on this. And so I was sending out pictures, and I was doing, you know, some Facebook Live types of things, and kind of, I guess, a little bit like what he was saying, and living on the edge, saying, well, I'm going to have somebody actually record one of my 10-minute shows.
Yeah.
And I posted it live, you know, streaming, and it worked great, and they liked it. They had standing ovation. Of course, there are no seats, so it's all standing.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. But I noticed that several people had shared that on and on and on, so it's gotten more
Absolutely.
Hits, you know, on there. So I think it's important. And I know Murray here in town, when he does his show, that he says also, go ahead and take your pictures and whatever. And again, I think that
we have to
you have to. And a lot of us are afraid that if we don't let people, or that if we do let people tape our shows or whatever, that or take pictures or video of it, then they'll be copying us or whatever. I don't think so. You know, I think that still, you know, Timo and Scott, and so we've got our own thing, and that if you're afraid of that, then maybe you need to reevaluate what you're doing, you know?
True. Well, I made a bad experience. I know of five people around the world who copied really exactly my act. There was even a TV show. They wanted to book me with my shadow act. We didn't come to a contract. I didn't like the conditions. But somehow, I think he promised the money guy, the producer, that he gets me. Or he gets the act. So it ended up that the MC did my shadow act. They copied it and didn't book me. So I made a bad experience. So that's why I became also shy in sharing too much. And
look at Houdini.
But we should do it. Get it out.
Houdini.
True.
Had people copy his act. You know that. He was constantly going out and trying to fight and say, I'm the only Houdini. There's other guys are. Even they would copy his name. It would sound like Eni at the end or whatever. They were trying to do all these escapes and everything then too. But still, there's only one. And so I think that by you being the best you can be, then nobody's going to be able to copy you. Everyone's going to be a clone of you. You know?
Yeah. Fortunately, all the copies I know of, they were all like, okay, no danger. But the ideas they took.
Sure.
So as this happened the first time, I remember, my God, this was like a punch in, but then later I understood this is the best promotion for me. Then I just then made screenshots of the recording I had or even the video by itself, and I posted it. And then people were like, oh my God, he's that good that even a Chinese copy him. So okay, so we have to book him in original. I had a long conversation with Rudy Kobe about this.
He's had this
because
ripped off, I'm sure.
And with Danny Cole also.
How to deal
with this and so on.
Well, Rudy and Danny were probably working with you out there at Macau. I know that they were
with Danny. Rudy was, he left already, unfortunately.
Love that guy.
Yeah, you know, Rudy Kobe, he was the guy who changed my perspective of magic. As I was a teenager performing, I saw he was on German television all over. In these days, the German TV shows, they really booked acts. And not making them look bad or the danger of... No, it was like a real show on television.
Yeah.
These great days. And Rudy was there all over. And as I saw this, I said, okay, let me take away everything what I did so far and start all over.
Yeah.
So and this is the great thing also about magic, that when you make it in a certain way, you meet your heroes.
Yes.
And it was so great that he came back after his long time off, and then I told him, Rudy, you were my hero, and we talked about it, and we became very good friends. And like this, I did his production as he had his anniversary, his birthday party in the Magic Castle, and he came even to my, as I had my stage anniversary, 2015. Yes, I was 25 years and I did my production, and he said, okay, Timo, tell me when it is and I will come. And he came
to Germany too?
And he came to Germany, and after that we had 1 week vacation, and this was again the magical moment for me.
Yeah.
And in these days also we talked about all these things, all these topics. And we said, you cannot really help it. You cannot really, there are some people.
Rudy was saying you can't stop it.
I mean, there are some people who had success. Rafael, he had, what is it called? He sued Hans Klok. And here also, Teller, didn't he also have?
Yeah, Teller had a lawsuit about somebody, I think, on the shadow thing, where he had the rose and the shadow that cuts it. Yeah.
So it is possible. You can go that way. But yeah, Rudy and me, we came to this conclusion and said, oh, come on, it's not worth it. They don't destroy our market. They don't destroy us with these copies. We can even use them for promotion. And maybe these copies, they push us even to get even more better and find new ideas.
That's
and
a very
go
good
on.
Point.
And when you think it like this, I think it's more... more relaxed than having.
Well, sometimes you might look at that and say, is that supposed to be a copy of me? Then I need to be better than that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it pushes you to excellence.
Absolutely. At the moment, I after these many shows last year and this many trips, at the moment this year, I try to make a little break, or I don't promote, don't promote at the moment. I don't want to perform too much this year because I really need the time off. Yeah. finding new ideas, right, developing new stuff, yeah, and so on. And
well, another guy I think is very creative from Germany is Topaz. I mean, yeah, I have so much admiration for that gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, he's also from near Stuttgart, yeah, and yeah, he's.
Did you guys kind of grow up together, or do you know each other pretty well?
As I was a teenager, I saw him on all the stages in Germany, mm-hmm, and especially in my area. Then fortunately, because we're all members of the Magic Circle in Stuttgart, so now we know and we are friends and we sit together and also share ideas and help each other. He was the guy who gave me the feedback and said, oh, look, you have this TV act and you have this shadow act. These are the best pieces and they're so unique. And now it's Fissom time. It was 2006.
Yeah, get rid of this other thing.
Put these two things together. If they fit or not, put it together. It's Fissom time. Get it out there that people see it and that people especially know this is yours.
That's the advantage of having someone who is giving you a perspective, yeah, from a different angle, because you're absolutely so close to it. If you don't have a, yeah, third party, and I don't mean necessarily a friend who's going to say, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You need somebody,
yeah,
who's really a real director or a, yeah, producer to look at it with a critical eye from the audience.
Absolutely. And we in the Magic Circle, we are so lucky. We have so many professionals there. Junge, Julius Freck, all these who came up with Topaz in the same year, mm-hmm, in Germany, they were all from Stuttgart. So we have so many professionals sitting there. And they're so open-minded and so helpful.
And they're willing to share.
And willing, yeah, to share. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So I was this guy, this young kid coming from the school doing magic. And then, wow, he invented something for a travesty show. what was, yeah.
Now you're saying travesty show. Travesty has a different connotation or meaning in the U.S. I mean, travesty means something horrible. So I don't.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if you mean travesty.
No, I mean, in our meaning, it just means that the guy, the main actor, he performed as a woman. This is what it means in Germany, travesty.
Okay. Well, maybe transvestite.
He was a man and just putting on.
No, I understand. Yeah, but transvestite is someone who just. They take their vest, I guess, they transfer. Basically, it's a transvestite, someone who would, a man in woman's clothing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. This is what, and travesty, we call this travesty in Germany.
I understand. Okay. So, just to clarify for
very
American
good, very
listeners.
Very good, very good. Because he's great. He's still performing every year there. And he was fortunately so smart to say, look, to have the whole time the same, the whole evening the same topic is boring.
Yeah.
Let me get some X in.
Well, another thing we call that is a drag show. You know, where they have drags. They call it like drag queens. They wear.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're very popular here in Las Vegas.
Even. They are. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I get the paper and the promotion every night here on the strip. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was the guy who performed in this show and invented some his own ideas. And then fortunately, and I had then the contact to the Magic Circle, and they told me, they said, one night, Eberhard Riese, the director of Topaz, and he was in this show, he was in this show, and he said, oh my God, Timo, you have to go to the German Championships. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, why? With what? Oh, with your shadow piece. I said, oh, this is not really magic for me. This is for me entertaining and having fun and comedy. He said, no, it's pure magic. Go for it. I said, well, okay, if you say it. I went there, I was German master instantly.
Uh-huh.
And because I was German master, that's why I had then to go to Fissom. And fortunately, they helped me really a lot. They gave me advice and so on. So it's amazing. Really, really amazing. And I was so lucky to be in that area. So I was lucky in so many ways. Let me say this. Maybe this is also motivation for whoever listens to us and who wants to put some effort into magic and give
build
some love back.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was great. I was living in an area where there was a magic convention with public shows every year. So I watched the best of the best of magicians. There was Dave Vernon, there was Siegfried Roy. Everybody came to this convention and to these public shows every year. In January it was. My grandma always brought me there. Then I was lucky that on television, mm-hmm, there were performers. And I was lucky that we had a magic circle where you could go to,
yes,
especially after them. And this recipe,
yes, yeah,
brought me worked, together. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, worked for me, and that's why I'm here sitting now with you, Scotty.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Well, I tell you, as we start to wrap up, the name of my podcast, you know, is called The Magic Word. So, what's your magic word? What's your phrase? What's important?
Wow, now you got me. What is my magic phrase?
Yeah, what is important to you? What's your philosophy of life?
Yeah,
when you wake up in the morning to get you going, it's like, I'm going to do this today, you know, because...
Yes. You know what? When I think about what is now magic for me, all this community coming together, when I think about my production, where it's a blast to see old friends in the audience and so on, I think it's bringing people together.
Okay.
Bringing people together, whoever they are, whatever they are. I really looked very closely in the concept of my production as we put up the concept together of how expensive it is and how we promote, mm-hmm. the goal was we want everybody to be there. The people who have not so much money, the people who have money, the people in the jeans, the right. people in the tie.
They're all the same.
Yes. And these people having a blast together, going out, having this positive energy and being excited and forgetting their problems and going on, simple as that.
Yeah.
Because this is what I also enjoy when I watch shows. And this, when shows give me a... I don't need a deep meaning. I just need somebody, some energy that pushed me out of my dark corner.
Yeah.
Or out of my tired mood.
Right.
And when they give me this energy... In whatever way, in magic, in Cirque, or whatever, if they give me this, this is all I want. And this is what I try to do with my show, too. When you see my show, it's just visual fun. It's just like, hey, guys, I have here something. Let me share this with you.
Right.
Let's be together. Let's have fun. Full stop. And as simple as it is, I think as important it is.
It's an important thing, really, is a community and share joy, so. I guess.
Yeah, know, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why I fly tomorrow to Christian Painter.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
we will have such... I know,
you know you will.
We will have such a blast together,
yeah.
and we will talk about the old days,
yeah.
and we will look at pictures, and we will talk about our future plans. This is the true magic. This is what
friendship
I, what
of
I
magic. Or magic of friendship.
Yeah.
There we go.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Simple,
well, great.
Simple as that.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Scotty.
This has been a difficult week for both of us. It seems like with our appointments and different kinds of... and you were ill a little bit earlier.
Yes, I was in the bed. Oh, damn it. In Vegas. Sick.
Of all places,
what's
yeah.
happening? But I'm happy we made it.
Glad we did. Thank you very much for sharing your
sure.
time and your words and your friendship over
sure.
here. So that's great. So thank
Scotty.
You. So that was Timo Mark. And for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out.
Well, thank you, Timo, very much for being my guest this week on the Magic Word Podcast. I enjoyed chatting with you, and I look forward to our next visit. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to actually sit down and have a much lengthier conversation, because both of us seemed like we were in a big hurry to try to run someplace else during this conversation. But I appreciate the time that you were able to carve out for me, and sorry that you were ill earlier in the week, which also conflicted with trying to get our schedules together. So that kind of wraps up what we've done here this week, and I want to again thank the people who are the friends of the Magic Word. Because of their financial sponsorship, they have been able to help defray the costs associated with my travel and my lodging and everything, getting there and back and making these Las Vegas Chronicles possible. If you're interested in donating any amount of money, whether it's $1 or $1 a month or more than one-time donation or whatever, please go over to themagicwordpodcast.com and look at the video and see how that you can help support the Magic Word and become a friend and a patron of the Magic Word. And again, I want to thank all of you guys. And it was also because of their support that we're able to send out the gifts free of charge, without any postage charges, I should say, whenever that we have these gifts from time to time that are prizes that are offered. We have, during this last series, have been giving out, thanks to the donations of the books from H&R Magic Books, who've been giving out copies of Nick Trost's Subtle Card Creations. We are out of those right now, so they've already gone through the 6 volumes, or at least 2 through 6 that we have given out over the past several weeks, and so we have no contest this week. Nothing planned for next week, but we do have some things that are going to be coming up in the future beyond that. During this time that I've been running these Las Vegas Chronicles, there have been some other people who I've had an opportunity to chat with and have recorded their conversations, and so those will be coming up very soon also. So I'm excited about some of the people who you're going to get to hear coming up in the next few weeks, and then before long, I'm going to be back at the Magic Castle again, and we'll be having my Week at the Castle series, and so I'll be talking with several people who are working the castle there that week with me. And I'm going to be working the early close-up, and Armando Lucera is going to be the one working the late close-up. So it's going to be fun to chat with him and a lot of other guys while we're out there. I'm looking forward to that then as well. So if you have not also had an opportunity to follow us on Facebook or Twitter, I recommend highly that you like our page on the Facebook. That is the Magic Word Podcast. Just do a search for that and like the page. You can kind of keep up to date on what's happening, because I tend to update that more than about anything. And then also, so these announcements for each week's podcast go out on Twitter, and that's Magic Word Pod, and you can follow us there as well. Or if you want to follow me personally, that's Scott Wells Magic. And that's also my Instagram page, which is Scott Wells Magic. Well, enough of that. Do what you can. I appreciate you listening and coming back and tuning in from week to week, and also telling your friends about the Magic Word Podcast and helping to spread the word. And in that regard, I think it's about time to wrap this up. And so until next time, stay well, get booked, and believe in the magic of friendship. This is Scotty out.